Pack Rats of the Inside by Buddy Tippett. Prologue. The world outside was so far gone that no one really even understood what it was. There was only inside. They were all inside, and there was also the inside of them which they were to consider. As strange as it sounds, the mentality of these creatures were of different stuff as those of the outside world, of which there was a decisive disconnect. Either way, the reality of their situation was what it was, and they accepted it. Some, although not all, thrived on it. The world known by these people was unnamed. However, it was often called the inside, as both a generic and proper term for their state of living. It was neither heaven nor hell. It was neither life nor death. It was likened to a limbo. But it was not that either. It simply was the inside, an appropriate designation for what it was, and accepted by all involved in a tribal way. These people were rats. They were pack rats, to be precise. It was their own term, and one that was both loved and feared. Their very heartache was the same as their joy. It was a desire to break free of the inside, mixed with a longing to be absorbed into it. The latter was a fate accepted by many, even though the concept of absorption was a very nasty one to consider. Some pack rats relished the thought regardless. Pack rats stood as bipedal creatures and were each one of three colors: brown, gray, and black. Their tails were long, pink, and ribbed. They had fur which was shaggy and wore no clothing but for practical accessories. Some wore loincloths entirely as a matter of shyness, where others would go about naked entirely as a matter of exhibition. The number of pack rats were plenty. They lived in a house of stone architecture, which was permanently safe from the lusty perils of the inside in which surrounded it. These creatures were quite social and enjoyed one another's company, whether they were exposed or not. They would sit around a great table in a well-lit room and chat about their lives, their friends, their existence, and often the prospect of leaving the house. Another fact that is unquestionably important is the fact of their immortality. Time did not run its course within the inside. It left the pack rats with the prospects of either living forever within the comfort of their friends and family in the house, or taking their chances within the inside. Whatever was to happen, they were slaves to their choices and were made to live eternally with the outcome. They could not die, and their bodies could take punishment beyond even their own understanding. Even so, they felt like mortals and were filled with a lust to be touched and manipulated, and this was the primary draw of the inside, which could lead them away from the safety of the house. The state of things as they were gave way to an endless supply of characters and their own adventures. Some of these adventures were short-lived and tragic. Others were long and heroic. Those who could survive the inside were freed of its prison and released into whatever it was beyond. But to those who left the house only to return were considered strange and unwanted. They would be barred from the house for eternity. To walk out and explore the inside was a final decision, and one that always came with consequences. This is the story of some who chose to venture, and their fates have been thusly recorded. Chapter 1. Kinder and the Back Door. The house had a number of exits. There was a front door, a back door, a basement exit which led underground, and it also had a second story exit which seemed to lead into its own world. All exits went somewhere different, and it was impossible to tell where each exit would take you. Each pack rat in the house had an exit they leaned towards and thought. In the case of a brown pack rat named Kinder, it was the back door. Kinder was one of those naked pack rats who wore only what he needed. He had an adventurous spirit and yearned to see what was on the inside. He knew the risks. He knew that there was no going back once he had been out the door. The truth was that he wanted to fight, and something told him that he would get plenty of fight out there on the inside. Kinder's best friend in the house was a gray pack rat named Quincy. Quincy was a little younger and a bit spryer. He would often meet up with Kinder near the back door and bring him food they could share. In the case of the present day, Kinder appreciated the gesture and told his friend, "I was looking forward to sitting with you today."
"You were?"
asked Quincy. "It may be our last time," confessed Kinder. "I'm thinking about moving on." Quincy always knew the day would come. It came to many pack rats. It was a way of life for them. He was ready to accept it, but he knew he would still miss his friend. "If you want, you can have my share as well. I wasn't really hungry when I came to see you anyways." Kinder passed up the offer, saying, "Never fear being full. We are inside the inside, and the inside is within each of us. Why not put food in it?" Quincy sighed. It was a line that many pack rats had said. There was something about this world that threatened to fill them to bursting, but they never would truly burst. He took the advice and ate what he had, despite not being all that hungry. After some silence, the younger pack rat asked, "What do you think is out there?"
"Creatures that want us," said Kinder. "They want to use us and play with us as if we were toys."
"And what do you want to do, Kinder?"
"I want to fight them until I don't have any fight left."
Quincy wondered aloud. "It seems strange to me for someone to want to fight anything. But I'm not you. I also don't want to go out that door." Kinder gazed upon his friend. "Is there a door you fancy more?"
The younger nodded. "I fancy the second floor exit. I sometimes wonder if it leads to the sky itself."
Kinder smiled. "You have an imagination, but keep in mind that all four exits take you to a similar fate. It is simply a change of scenery. We are pack rats. We seek out and suffer those trials. We find our fate. The door we choose to get there are our own choices. I choose the back door, and I think I shall go out once I finish this nice food you brought me."
Quincy had already finished his. He leaned down on his fists and stared at the door in question. It was a darkened foyer with a brown wooden door. It was unguarded despite it being assumed that there were terrible creatures out there. None of them ever came into the house anyways. No, pack rats always went out there. Like all exits of the house, it led into the inside. It was a place of fate where their own immortality would deliver them to whatever outcome that same fate would bring upon them. That door was destiny for Kinder, but not for Quincy. The young pack rat soon said, "You should take someone with you."
"I'm going alone," said Kinder with finality. Conceding away from his suggestion almost immediately, Quincy then said, "You'll probably meet another pack rat out there anyways. You should befriend him and double your chances." Kinder smiled, putting down his bowl. "I shall do that." He then looked at Quincy as if urging him that the conversation had run its course. The young one understood and took his bowl back so that it could be returned to the kitchen.
"I'll miss you," said Quincy.
"You are always a good friend to me."
Kinder gave Quincy a hug and pecked him on the cheek. "I hope you enjoy the second floor exit, Quincy."
"Thank you," was the reply.
Kinder stood up and stretched with a happy groan. He then sauntered over to the wooden door before turning around to lean against it. Quincy watched from where he sat as his friend went through his own personal ritual of finality. Not all pack rats did a ritual, but in some families it was a tradition. It was like a little dance that was not really a dance they did before going into the inside. Kinder rubbed his back against the wood grain a little, and then slid down until he was sitting on the floor with his back still to the door. He reached up his right hand and took hold of the knob, using his body weight to turn it. The door clacked and swung open a little as he hung by the knob. Pulling himself back up, he leaned on the frame and looked outside. Quincy was somewhat marveled by the ritual itself. Everyone was different. There were no passed-down rituals. Kinder had made it up himself, and there was something beautiful in that fact alone. This was his special goodbye, and nobody else would do it like that again, at least not on purpose. Kinder opened the door a little wider and put 1 foot through. It was followed by a second. His body was now gone from Quincy's vision. The door slowly began to close until the spectator heard the iconic click. Kinder could come back if he wanted to, but Quincy would only send him back out. Kinder was now an outcast from the house.